Good evening, and welcome to Talk Truth Radio with your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth, and you can look forward to the next 3 hours of enlightening talk. What are the issues? More importantly, what are the solutions? We hold the torch. Together we stand. Now join Dr. Rain and this evening's guest. Open your mind and have a good time.
Joining us here on Ascension Road Talk Radio. I am your host. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan. And again, this evening, I have a wonderful guest for you. Well, again, I have a wonderful guest, and again, a wonderful person is coming on my show, so it's a double again. We have All Mean with us this evening. And you know, I think folks out there need to be buckling their seatbelts on All Mean, because we're really getting ready to make a great shift, aren't we? Good evening, All Mean.
Good evening, Rain, and thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I love to have you. Thank you for joining us. When I say that there's a great shift coming, it's, I think, different than what many people are expecting. The thing that I would like to have you talk with us this evening about, All Mean, is how the polarities have now shifted. You know, I don't think there's anybody out there, well, let's say probably 20% of the people listening to us, we won't say nobody's out there, but many of the people that are out there are thinking to themselves, well, of course, if you have an up, you have to have down. Of course, if there's good, there has to be bad. It's the polarities. It's the positive and the negative. But that's shifting. Now we have polarities. One is good, and the other one is better.
I love that statement.
Isn't it?
You know, and perhaps people have not fully understood the meaning of polarity. That might be part of the problem.
And can we start there?
Yes.
Can we start with the meaning of the word polarity?
I think that's a very good place to start.
Yes.
All growth in the cosmos consists as a pulsation between receptive and proactive, beingness, doingness. Those are, in actual fact, polarities, the receptive being the negative, the proactive being the positive. So nothing grows in a straight line, because if there's only one pole present, stagnation results. So the actual fact of it is that we did go up and down and up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand that folks at this point are starting to think that that might be the nature of reality. But the reason for that is that we were not actually doing our polarities deeply enough.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, let's say that we had a descension cycle and we came up in an ascension cycle to break free from it in what would be, since your program is about ascension, in what would be a cosmic ascension. Instead, it went into birth and rebirth cycles. And the reason is that we used emotional pairs, wonderful 96 emotional frequencies, tones, before. And we did it 96 times, each time focusing on a specific emotional frequency. But we never pulsed between the poles of these frequencies deeply enough to break free. So what my understanding is from receiving this from the Infinite Mother herself, which is the goddess that gives birth to all life, she says that it was necessary to finally do it with a type of polarity where there was illusion and light.
Mm-hmm.
So it was simply an experiment for the 97th time, and it did cause us to break free. So we have been in a cosmic ascension as of February of 2005. But it doesn't have to be that way, and it's, you know, the purification that has on a day-by-day basis happened. I spend several hours every day just understanding the changes that happened that day. I mean, I can spend another 2 hours speaking to you just what happened today. And, you know, so it's getting purified and purified. The pulsation of polarity should, for example, if we take an emotional pair that's passion and joy,
mm-hmm.
passion mm-hmm. is the proactive, the desire to know. Joy is the desire to be, the desire to live.
To live.
And so if you pulse deeply between those, great growth can occur. There's no need for us to pulse between what's unpleasant and not.
I think one of the polarities that we need to talk about here, too, is fear and love.
Okay, that's a good one.
Explain that one kind of in some depth. You know, fear is the desire to retreat. Talk about that.
Yes. What happened is that in the cycles of descension, and in the book that has just been released, I think it's my fifth or sixth book, I haven't been keeping track, I've been writing them, but it's The Gift of the Unicorns. And in second half of that book, the history of the cycles of the fall is explained in detail by those that Mother designated as the history keepers of the cosmos. And they were a hidden kingdom so that it couldn't be tampered with, and they just observed from their hidden space, and they kept the history. I took dictation from them verbatim. That is what came out. It put a lot of lines between dots that we didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
But according to them, there was a time when tones were stolen from the perfection of the infinite voice. You know, the voice that is from the infinite mother that has been speaking to all of life. That four tones were stolen. Those tones became distortions. And so fear, anger, pain, and protectiveness arose. Mother has since restored the perfection of the tones in the cosmos, the frequencies that are found in the cosmos. So fear used to definitely be the opposite of love. Now it is trust. So love and trust is actually the core of all emotions. So trust is what it was, and then when trust got distorted and it became fear. Now, we no longer have those as realities, meaning that people can still enact fear and pain and protectiveness and so on, but when they do, they will find that the realness of such an emotion does not exist. It doesn't even register on the ether.
I have been spending a great deal of time in your material, as you probably wouldn't have too much of a problem guessing.
I'm
going to be joining you in Dublin. Okay.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God.
And I do hope that you arrange with the Grand Master there, which is Joe. The Master
Joe
is the sort of the Grand Master of the Rose there, of the Order.
Yeah.
And that they take you around a little bit the next day or two or three.
Yes, I could just put my little UGG boots on and walk around and just walk for days just to be able to see stuff. But yes, I hope that he's able to do that. I haven't asked.
You should ask, my love.
I am so excited, and I am so honored to be able to learn and study with you again. For those folks out there that don't have any knowledge of what's for so many years with you and I, but you and I have come back and forth together for is it 10 years?
It is about that, yes.
I will never forget the day that you and I were talking, and I said to you, there are things appear. Do you remember I said to you, there are things appearing in my house. There's an enormous black cat, and every time I open a cupboard door, sparkly, shiny things shoot through the dishes and into the drawers. And you said to me, there was a vortex open. What did you do? Early spring, late winter, early spring. And I said, well, gee, nothing. Oh, wait, we have a 3-day workshop.
Yes, you were shifting the sandwich points in that workshop.
We did, because that was what it was all about. Was shifting the assemblage point. That was my earliest Toltec warrior studying, and I was studying with you and with Avendar Dragon, and very different and still had profound similarities. I mean, it was Toltec warrior stuff,
yes.
It was assemblage point stuff. Boy, those were the good old days. But anyway, I said all that to say that, now I'm into your current stuff, and you have so been a mentor to me. All the years that I didn't talk with you, your teaching is some of the stuff, right use of will material. In the early years, I did Ramtha, but you are some of the most profound, earth-moving. You're the stuff that you wake up one day and you say, oh, my God, I might really, really be able to become immortal. I might really, really be able to shake off the code of death and ascend to something.
My sister, we just had a class that was a week long, going on about 5 years. I mean, with the profundity of the week is beyond explanation. And we had 3 people come in identity consciousness, and that the rest already were in their mastery beyond ascension. And but the 3 that came in left they left as masters. The silence of the mind occurred. The transfiguration of the fields occurred. For sure, that will happen.
Makes me breathe hard, and I know that I'm off of the interview that I have planned here. Being into your material, I said to Paul. He wrote me, and he said, "I'm going to get some questions." And I wrote him back, and I said, okay, but you don't need to. I have so much that I could talk to her about that I'd wear her out.
Well, I'm delighted. My sister, you just fire away.
But I know we're off of that, but I just have to just tell you that I am so to be going to Ireland to study and spend time with you and grow with you. And to be looking at the way it feels now. When you talked about the analogy, and this was where I planned to go next, is into these states of good and better and better and bestest. You talk about 3 things that we need to live in: love, praise, and gratitude. And from those 3 states, thought goes away and there's nothing but feeling. And when I thought about that, and I moved into that state, my body blissed out. I had waves and waves of bliss move through me. These new polarities are what we really have to talk about and where we have to go. I need you to talk now because those waves of bliss are kind of going through.
I know that one, and I'm happy to take over.
Thank you.
The love, praise, and gratitude. The love we spoke of before. The unfortunate thing is that the English language really doesn't differentiate beyond the fact that love is love. There are so many multiple facets of love that is not fully and adequately covered in the English language. One has to speak some of the ancient tongues to be able to know that there's a difference. Love, as we described it, as the opposite of what used to be fear, what now is trust, is an emotion. An emotion is based on desire. The desire to include in that instance is love. And its opposite polarity is trust, which is the desire to surrender. But love, praise, and gratitude are three attitudes, and they're called the ascension attitudes. An attitude has a different formation as a waveform. Love as a waveform, when it's an emotion, is simply a horizontal wave. Love as an attitude has a vertical wave with a horizontal carrier wave. In other words, if you dissect the little wave of love as an attitude, it's mm-hmm. like a wobbly cross. So why that is that the vertical is a perceptional component. There is perception as well as emotion when you're dealing with an attitude. Why this is important is that awareness as we know it has completely changed as of August last year, which is 2006. Awareness used to move, and it used to move in trillions and trillions of little spirals out from a central source in this big donut form, which meant it moved out and it moved in. This kept us locked into birth and death cycles as a cosmos. In August, it was towards the sort of end of July, August, the beginning of August, something huge happened in the cosmos. And it shattered those trillions of little waveforms. And awareness became spread like butter across toast, across the cosmos, meaning it was evenly distributed and it was in tiny little bits. And the little bits, when you dissect it, looks like a wobbly cross. There is a perceptional component and there is an emotional component. Now, what's the relationship between awareness and the ascension attitudes of love, praise, and gratitude? Let's just take love, for example, as an attitude. It is exactly formed like awareness. But awareness has now become inert. It's stationary. It no longer moves. So how do we pull awareness towards ourselves? With this concept of polarity. The proactive love is sent forth from the heart in waves and waves and waves like a microphone. So the love broadcasts this heart as an ascension attitude. The heart broadcasts the love as an ascension attitude. It is proactive. It moves. That is the only thing, the love and the praise and the gratitude as attitudes, that so similarly resembles the awareness particles that it will pull awareness towards one. So let's say Susan over there on a bench is broadcasting love out to the cosmos. Joe over there on the bench is worrying about his income taxes. Susan is pulling this in. She's raking in awareness as she sends up the attitude of love. So awareness clusters around her in a very dense form. So she's raked portions of the butter on the toast towards herself, whereas Joe has not. They might be same location, different attitudes. And that is how love, praise, and gratitude increases your awareness, and actually enough so that you must transfigure and become an ascended and an immortal being. If you actually rake in enough of it, it will even catapult you right out of the human kingdom. It will catapult you into the kingdom beyond, which is the God kingdom.
Now that's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
A minute ago, when I can enter that bliss state, not always upon demand, but much easier now. And so it got hard for me to think there for a minute. But what I wanted to say to folks that you had brought this up, and I thought, what a perfect analogy. You talked about the spilled glass of wine and how the sun shone on the broken glass and it sparkled and it was beautiful, and the color of the burgundy wine. And I don't know if it was my thought after I read that. I don't even know what came after that, but I thought to myself about even in cleaning up the glass, the broken glass and the spilled wine, how you're creating a space that can be filled by the next beautiful thing. And that's the place. I mean, I know people say, you know, they go to that place in their head where they look at stuff that's going on and they say, well, that, how would I see the beauty in that? There's no beauty in that. There's nothing to feel good in that. But there's a way to look at everything.
It's a little bit like a little boat that's going across a lake. And, you know, if you set your sail against the wind, you're not going to get there. But if you tack and turn the sail just a certain way, you actually speed across the lake even when the wind is strongly against you. It is that twist of the sail that's that perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I have found myself in my past looking for something in a situation that was good, and I've had to sometimes go to that barest bottom place where you said this was what somebody chose, and there's no accident because it's a learning experience.
Yes, my sister, and you know, it just doesn't have to be the hard way anymore.
No.
One of the huge gifts that has been given in this last 7-day period, and it actually has been more in the last 3-day period, one of the large gifts that Mother has given, I've just been through with a group of 25 people, the most profound mystical experience. I've seldom been through something like that, and it still really isn't quite over yet. But the upshot of it is that new codes of creation are being put into all life to constantly, this constant purification and upgrading of life has been taking place on a day-by-day basis. But one of the results of that is, in fact, inner guidance. And today, there has been work done on this inner guidance becoming part of the frequencies of the cosmos, which it did.
I am so excited about Dublin. And Can you explain what happens to someone when they're making that transition? What does that feel like? What happens to the body?
Now, it depends which transition you're speaking of.
Well, into the next
kingdom or the next
phase? Say immortality.
Okay, immortality. My sister, I can tell you what it felt like for myself. But one of the things is it has become easier and easier and easier to do. And it has become, in fact, so easy that it could be very similar to what you've already gone through, because when we look, you've already gone into the first phase of your ascended mastery, which is that place of where a lot of thinking and talking and things start to become automatic. And it needs to become automatic because it's very tiring to speak if you actually try and think. But if you recall, when you did these changes, you had a lot of shaking at night and sweats and feeling like your bed is being lifted right off the floor and electricity through your body. Oftentimes it feels like you want to jump out of your skin. That is all indicative of increased light. That might be, for some, the worst that they would feel. For others, now especially once that leap is made from one kingdom to the next, I had it happen to a person that was here this last week, and she felt like she had the breath squeezed out of her. It felt very much like one is pulled through a straw. And it was quite bad for many of the masters that I work with, where they felt like, you know, they couldn't breathe, their heart would stop beating, which is okay because by then you've long gone through immortality. But they were so squeezed, this feeling of being squeezed. And then there was, in the past, the necessity when you went from one kingdom to the next, there was a shield in between. And there was massive, massive, massive amounts of emotion needed to break that shield. And in my case, I had to do it. I mean, I was like in 11 hours of deep, deep, deep emotion. I couldn't quite make the grade. I then, I had 2 hours at the end where I put everything in it that I possibly could. And I felt something shatter around me. And then immediately after, this feeling like I was being pulled through a straw, the pressure on my body was very intense. I had some of that with one of the masters in my class that actually exited the human kingdom this last week. But for many of them, there's hardly any symptoms other than that which I described at night. And then there's usually a lot of detoxing that happens. Life changes, but that you don't notice till afterwards.
Well, I haven't felt my bed shake or rise, and I haven't felt like I'm being sucked through a straw.
No, but have you not felt the shaking in the cells? Like you're totally jittery from head to toe kind of feeling?
I have felt that, yes.
Okay, that's when you changed from God consciousness to ascended mastery, and you went into that first phase, which is where you are.
And you said you feel like you're just going to jump out of your skin.
Yes,
I have felt that often.
That's increased light.
I'm just too big for the body that I have.
Yes.
That's how it feels,
and
like
it
I should be able to move beyond these. But what are these waves of bliss? And I'm not really crying, but I'm crying.
Oh, my sister, I cried all the time when I was in my first phase of that ascended mastery, because it's the place where there is such silent of the mind that the heart actually for the first time opens fully. One is inclined to feel that, you know, many of the masters of, say, India, they are in God consciousness. But they stay in the bliss because it's uncomfortable for them, really, to relate to people. So they like stay in the bliss a lot. But the point is, when you're in this phase that you're in, you don't have to leave your expanded silence to relate to people. It's automatic. And so this automatic relating to people is part of the totally silent mind. Nobody else has written about these phases, so in my books, I've had to just sort of coin phrases for them. The phase that you're in Ascended Mastery, which is the first of three phases, I called the totally silent mind. That is the place where the heart fully bursts open, because it, no matter how much light workers love, it is not complete while there's dialogue in the mind. And that is when you just cry and cry and cry, because everything is so profoundly felt. I would stare at a rose and just cry.
Yeah.
And it's very much that part of that. The bliss is substantially deeper. I believe, if I recall correctly, that Mother said it was 16 times deeper than the masters that are in God consciousness. And in India, most of them, you know, stop functioning. So here we are, you know, doing our show, doing everything we need to do, which is how it should be, because you have to also, you know, alternate again, otherwise stagnation happens if you go too much into beingness.
Why can't I get into that state at will?
The state being the bliss?
The bliss state, yeah.
Rain, I really think that you're in it all the time. It's just that when you are in doingness, you don't notice it.
Oh.
If you just take time to be... Well, take time is not really a good word, because it's essential that you start to go into eternal time. So if you just take little blocks of your day where you do no thing, it's different than meditation. The assemblage point position is different. But if you, at that stage, just be, just sit, like a child would, just observe the spider against the wall, the shadow that's thrown from the window, just observe how the light catches the fabric of a your sweater on the chair. Just sit and feel any and all tension of linear time leave your body. If it stays somewhere, think of it as a talon, like a bird's talon in your flesh. Just imagine yourself undoing with deep breathing the talons, just, you know, till it's gone, until the entire body is in the bliss. When, you know, I mean, I don't, this, when I'm on the phone with you, it's like there's just you and me and no audience. This happens every time.
That makes me happy, you know that, don't you?
Well, I usually end up saying things I don't normally say, because I think it's just you and me, you know?
Yeah.
But I will just tell you, Rain, that you, with what you're going to experience in Ireland, you will not be returning in the human kingdom. The fields around your body will absolutely, unequivocally be transfigured so that it's no longer part of the humanness. There's huge things that have to happen, this meeting in Ireland, as there usually is, but it's pretty huge. The masters from Canada are going over because the order of the white rose, the feminine negative pole of white magic that's being restored to man, is in Ireland. I've just, let me think when, I've been living in this maze with no time, but I think it was 3 days ago, the libraries of Sanat Kumara, which is the libraries of the Order of the Dove, opened their doors so that I could now go in and get the information. Up till that point, I only had two of their secrets. And now I have the library. I can translate whatever I want to. the two secrets. One of them is about the Masters of Ireland and the fact that there's, let me see, 20, there are 30, no, 20, there are 3 and 7, that's 10, and 12 is 22. There are 22 of them that have never been born. They have come through from the time of Isis through a time tunnel that goes between cycles of life that came out at Clonmacnoi, and Isis herself closed on the 28th of January, right after that the 22 came through. And she closed it on the 28th of January, 2006. Those of the Masters she will be amongst. They're all in the God Kingdom. And my sister, the rose has birthed the Order of the White Dove. 25 people gathered here this last week. One of those in the God Kingdom came over from Ireland here. When I first met him, Mother said, "That is the Dove." The information for the mystical order of the Dove to bring the positive pole of white magic back to Earth is in his DNA. So he has come here to restore this order, and did in fact this last week restore the order of the white dove. And then when I was in Toronto the week before, incredibly mystical events happen, and we started to get just a smattering of the neutral body of magic. And it is the order of the red and white serpents. And in class, interesting thing, almost everyone there had snake bites happen to them. I went there and I felt this two fangs go into my foot, and this awful sort of feeling of squirting something into my foot, which would be the venom, initiation. And, you know, it was told that that magic would come from the Caucasus. And a large contingency of that class there was from Eastern Europe. And this is where the order of the red and white serpent, the positive, negative, which makes the neutral. The rose is the negative, the dove is the positive, the red and the white serpents is the positive negative, it's the neutral. Now, all of these orders that come out of it is birthed by the rose. So, 4 of the Masters, I think now there might be 5 of the Masters from Canada, are going to the Order of the White Rose during the week that you're there to receive from them certain codes that they then have to carry back to the other group. And it's only when I see them again that they can actually, at that point when we're together again, they will be called and initiated and consecrated into that order. And what it means is that they become the keepers of the bodies of magic.
This is rather very, very interesting to me because, and this probably somebody listening to this wouldn't see any, perhaps see any symbolism at all, but you know, as just a little girl, where we lived, there were snakes coming out of the woods, and I was so afraid of snakes. And of course, I learned many years later that the snake was the sign of wisdom. But, you know, the Order of the Rosicrucians was the first order I was ever initiated into. And then the Golden Dawn, which of course still carries the Rose Cross. And then finally Ordo Templi Orientis. And I see this progression. I see how these things have been in front of me, and yet my not really being able to access what was behind them yet. The symbols were but showing themselves to me. I find this very interesting, and something else that's very interesting to me is that I'm going to Ireland, and that's where my family is from. And Ireland is the place that I have felt for lifetimes that I needed to get back to. And I know, I feel what's coming. I can't put words to it, but I can feel it. As I listen to you talk, everything has a soft, almost iridescent blur around it. And I have this feeling that I need to step into another dimension. If I could just lay the phone down and stop doing radio for a minute and not have to stay in that in a conscious place, I'm sure that I can step into this dimension that you're talking about. Or maybe I'm just conjuring a dimension from listening to you. But I just find it profound. I find what's happening very, very interesting. Let's go back to the basics in order that I can stay in my body while you and I are doing a radio show, my sister.
I know, we can go off on any tangent.
Yes.
I just actually uncovered the role the Rosicrucians played in some of this last week.
Do you see the symbology of that?
Oh, I do it, yes.
Snakes.
My sister, I have got...
I hated snakes.
Yeah. Well, in the sacred space that is my home, where many of my classes are held, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't teach large groups of people. I just gather the ones that know in their heart they're supposed to be there.
Right.
And, you know, I hope that if they know that, that they're... Because a lot of times feelings of unworthiness keep people away. But if they know they must be here, they must. My classes are by invitation. If for some reason they shouldn't, you know, we will know.
Right.
But the point is that throughout the house there are multiple Rosicrucian symbolism. For example, I'm sitting in a room which is my sacred sort of ascension chamber,
mm-hmm.
because this is where my ascension took place. And at the end of the room, there's 8 foot by 8 foot, the four apostles painted by Albrecht Dürer. Well, if you look at the secret books of the Freemasons, they have a painting of Father Rosenkreuz, or Rosenkreuz, I guess.
Yeah.
Depending what language you're
yeah.
speaking, but the point is, those were actually not the four apostles Albrecht Dürer painted. They were the four founders of the Rosicrucians, and I have them in stained glass that come out of a French cathedral.
At
the end of my chamber, the chamber is laid out according to the old, what do they call it? The tabernacle dimensions with the Holy of Holies. So the Holy of Holies has a curtain that cannot close, and then there's a little step up, and then there are these windows behind it. And then I have here, I'm sitting looking at it, a very old apron of the Rosicrucian masters that they used to wear, like, you know, the aprons that they... And so on. I mean, I have it throughout my house. I've got paintings of the old Rosicrucian masters' originals. I've got paintings that go back to the 1600s. And I just have not understood what the Rosicrucian has to do with what I'm doing. But, you know, this has been sort of put together for me. So I finally figured it out last week. The bloodlines of Christ that people are speaking of is a distortion. They guarded the Rosenkreuz masters, or the Rosicrucian masters. What they were guarding was actually the Isis bloodline. Isis did bear children, and these children came from life cycle to life cycle and perpetuated her bloodline. And the codes of government for previous cycles of life were kept in those bloodline DNA. It was stored in there in code. And so, and that is just scratching the surface. But those are the Isis bloodlines that those masters were, not the Christ bloodlines. And that was actually something that was inserted over it in a deliberate attempt to cause distortion. It did, in fact, speak of the time when it should not be the rose and the cross, it should be the rose and the dove. The dove with the outstretched wings looks, in skeletal form like a cross.
Right. Yeah. I think in our next radio shows, and let's do a little commercial for All Mean right now. Please, people, go to spiritualjourneys.com. Website, books, All Mean. Start with the first book that you ever wrote, but
okay, well,
you might not. Do you remember which one the first one was?
Actually, I'm very much not too good with remembering even how many there are, but there is Journey. Let's start with the first one. There's A Life of Miracles. And if people just sort of want to know what I'm about and some basics, that is a very good place to start.
Okay.
Then there is Journey to the Heart of God. And what Journey to the Heart of God speaks of is how creation took place, how man has become so important in helping steer the cosmos, man's relationship vis-a-vis the infinite, and so on. Plus, there was a huge discovery made by me that went into that book that Toltec seers have been trying to solve for eons, and was solved actually in 2004 by myself, which is the relationship between the three and the four. Toltecs just were told in the oral traditions of Toltec Nahuals that if they could solve the relationship between the three and the four, life would hugely leap up to the next level. It's a very good day to talk about it, because today there was still more huge mysteries around the three and the four solved. But when we had the Venus transit across the sun is when it was solved in 2004. And what the ramifications of that is, you know, the macrocosm versus the microcosm, that is in Journey to the Heart of God. The third book that was written is Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And in my walking between worlds and so forth for multiple years,
mm-hmm.
the many wonderful kingdoms that I came across have been carefully explained and introduced, and their languages given. That book has a full section on interpreting your environment. The symbols in the environment is very important. It's how you get your guidance day by day. The other things that are in that book that is quite important is that when the Earth started her ascension, there was an opening of gates that happened in the membranes as she moved up, and she started to pull all of existence behind her. If that was not the case, it would tear the membrane, and then life would spill in a disorderly way. Thousands and thousands and thousands of angels and lords and so on were very instrumental in helping to create those large openings in these membranes interdimensionally. That is described in that book as well. And then the fourth book is the result of an incredible event that happened in August of last year, which dealt with the reversal of cosmic poles, whereas opposite energies were attracting before. We were attracting all sorts of deceitful people into our life,
yeah,
who were honest,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Right.
That all reversed. Life as we knew it changed forever, and Mother gave me the instruction within a few months to write that book.
I've just recently rewritten it because I was able to put a lot more information into it. So we have a nice second edition that's far more complete. And that would be the fourth book. Then in the fifth book is Aruba Sirina, Book of Fairy Magic, where I had a most precious event. The fairies contacted me and gave me 1 week in which we could photograph interdimensionally. We could photograph them, which we did, in color photography. And they would give us their magic, which I believe 5 or 6 groups did. Their writing, so you can contact them. Their calendar, so you know where to look for them, because they fly different heights at different times of the day. Incredible information. But I had to write the book in 1 week.
That book
came forth, and that was written on the 13th of November for 1 week with the assistance of some of the masters in that joined me for that week.
That book is the book that I have only perused it. But the fairies are everything to me. My house is full of fairies. As a little child, it would almost break my heart in to hear somebody say fairies weren't real. I will never forget a little friend of mine. I said, well, you know, we're going to go out and look for fairies. We're going to find the fairies. And she said, don't you know fairies aren't real? And I will never forget that. It devastated me.
I'm sure it did, my sister. But
oh, fairies.
It has to do with your soul's origin, doesn't it?
Yes, it was as if they were telling me that I didn't exist.
Exactly.
I think it's important that you and I go to that clinical place in our talks.
Okay. Well, the only thing I wanted to say is the last book.
Sorry.
We do actually have a last book, and it's the Gift of the Unicorns. And the whole first part of the book, the unicorns, the merpeople, and the giants give their magic. The second half of the book is the Earth's history. And then I have, with the assistance of the Masters of the Order of the White Rose, I have translated records from the Isis libraries. And the Isis libraries, when we moved upwards as a cosmos, was left behind, and Mother just recently restored them. There's enough material in there I can translate for the next 100 years, but right now we have one book complete that will possibly be available early in the new year, and it has incredible secrets in. And it's the Isis book called Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis.
Do you think
that sits on the books?
Do you think that it's going to stop for you anytime soon?
Possibly not, because I am still just doing final edits on the Isis book, and although I technically stopped writing it on the 16th of June, by the 17th of June, I had just flown back from England. I was so happy it was done. I thought I could rest a week or two, and that night, 1 o'clock, someone knocked on my forehead, woke me up, and said, sit up and start writing the Book of the One Life. And I had to start immediately writing. And what it is a revelation of the laws of Mother's being. And eventually it became the revelation of the true God of truth. And I would say it's going to also be the book of the magic of the dove, because the magic of Isis is in the other book. This is the magic of the white dove. It's already, I would say, at least half written. And then new information for the serpent book has just begun to filter through.
Well, when do you think you'll get some time to rest?
It's a very good question.
My sister, it's 9:35. would you like to continue on for another half an hour? And just to let folks know what's coming, Almeen and I have taken some extra hours, and I don't even know if you know all of the details yet, because Almeen has an assistant, Paul, that helps her and fills her in on what her schedule is and what she's going to be doing. But I know that you know that we have taken some extra hours of radio, and we will be, you'll be doing some by yourself, and you and I will be doing some radio together. And this will be when we get back from Ireland. This will be towards the end of November that we begin doing extra hours, and you will be joining BBS Radio.
I'm very excited about that. I don't know the details. I leave it in his capable hands.
Yeah.
But I did okay, so I'm very, very happy about that.
Well, I think that what is a good thing, and you tell me if you agree, I think we need to get into these new pairs of polarities, peace and inspiration. Let's go through these and do a teaching on this. Do you want to continue on and let's say we finish this evening with peace and inspiration, and then when we take up again, we go to, well, what is the next thing? Not acknowledgement and empathy. There's one in between that. But anyway,
I'd be happy to do it.
We'll do the next. What do you think about that?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Cool.
All right. Well, so did you want to just read for the folks the definition of that?
And then you talk about that? Do you
want to
do it that way?
Yes.
Okay. Peace and inspiration. Peace, as the second ring, is the desire to be at ease, that feeling in your body that you are totally at home. It is my body, the center of my being, and my home is the cosmos. How could we feel at home if we were surrounded by that which we are not? We could have even manifested disease in our bodies. If it has eluded us in the past, it is time to try again. Inspiration is the desire to inspire and to be inspired. When we are with similar mirrors, we are inspired. I see in you that which I am, and it inspires me. I recognize it, and then I become more. It is a shock when you encounter in others that which you are not. Oh, this has been hard, I think, even for many of the light workers. I just threw that in there. It can be so in your face, but we don't have to deal with this anymore. This was a big thing to me, Almeen, when I read this. We want them to go off and be with others that are like them, because the best way we can serve them is for us to live in inspiration and peace. The more inspiration we feel, the more it goes places where it is needed, and then people will be inspired to get out of their ruts. Feel something that inspires you, an act of heroism, an act of beauty, inspirational music, and allow that feeling to ripple out throughout the cosmos. That's the first part of this.
Okay. Well, let's tackle those then. So much of this is possible because of what happened last August when the polarities changed.
Okay.
So let's first of all look at the issue of peace. The fact that we view the cosmos as our home, it was hard to do before because we had something in it called illusion. As of August of last year, that changed, and how it changed was like this. I have spent multiple hours since you and I last spoke, Rain, uncovering how the fall actually came about. there's been layers upon layers upon layers of information, and every time I think I've hit the bottom, more reveals itself.
Yeah.
In fact, more revealed itself even today. So I have never hit the bottom of this yet. Mm-hmm. But the point is that Mother was confronted. She made her first creation, which was the Father, and she was confronted. See, she made him. Now, this is one level of the fall story. All right, there's multiple levels above it. But she made him in a way that he could accommodate and reflect back to her everything that she was. What she did not and was meaning, Mother is everything. She's the infinite. There are more feminine components to it than masculine, so that makes her feminine. But creation, life, the cosmos, everything that is individuation is but a small flashlight circle on a ceiling that is dark. And it's not really dark, but let's, for purposes of discussion, say it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's a dark ceiling and there's a bright little flashlight spot. This is where creation took place. The vastness beyond it is also Mother. But she formed Father within that spot. What she did not see is that he would inspire in her such depth of emotion that the joy that he was capable of handling, that she would beam out to him, for example, because, you know, they were also meant to pulse each other.
Right.
And so he would inspire such passion in her or such joy that it went beyond the circle. Because the circle, he was designed for capacity of what she felt in that portion of her being inside this little circle of light. But what she didn't foresee is he inspired her to feel more than the circle. So suddenly, it felt like he could not, because his task with her was to create the boundaries that she would push a little bit further each time. It's very similar to the instinctual male and the instinctual female, how they interact. And if I could elaborate on that a bit, there's a interpretive dance therapy that's being done where a person dances out in interpretive dance how they feel. There are observers around them holding the space. And then they feed back to them what they observed that they were expressing. If the dance gets too wild, they might call for assistance to help hold the space. This is much the same way that the instinctual male and the instinctual female in the direction of below is supposed to handle themselves. This is how Mother and Father were supposed to interact. He could not contain the vastness of her emotions when it spilled out of the circle. He then tried to control it through mind. Mother and the internal dialogue developed. Mother confronted with what she was not. This no accident that she would bring up this issue of how light workers have been put in confusion when confronted with that which they're not. First of all, it put him into confusion. Okay, and when you obsess about the questions, you lose energy, dialogue of the mind arises. And then, when that happened, all he could see was take her at face value. She couldn't understand why he couldn't see her any longer. She was confronted with things that, you know, his purpose was to mirror things back of what she was. And suddenly she didn't know what she was and what she wasn't by what he was mirroring. The unidentified portions of are they her or are they not, is what illusion is. There were basically, let me see, I would say six. There was about nine pieces or so that she didn't know if they were her or not in big categories. Two of the pieces were, in fact, things where she needed to change her vision. and they became pieces of wisdom. And the other pieces, and this is located in the new libraries that have just opened, and I've not been able to go and translate it yet, so I don't know what these pieces are yet. But there are, I would estimate, I can give you exactly, I think that there are 9 or 10 pieces. Of them, 2 of them were in fact mother's vision that needed to change. The other was not. It was born of father's confusion at being confronted with things that he wasn't able to interpret. But all of this is what illusion is. There were those who represented this illusion or confusion. And we could not feel at peace as long as those pieces were unsolved, because these beings representing them were at large and they were major light repressors. I mean, they make Lucifer look like small fry, and Lucifer moved into the light. Actually, it was in 2005 he moved into the light. There were only 600 left of his hosts, and they all moved into the light. He's small fry compared to what we had out there. So it was hard to feel at peace. By August of last year, everything was solved. Mother knew what she was. She knew what she wasn't, you know, in terms of the illusion. And that which was her stuff to fix, in terms of there was perception to be gained, she gained. So illusion as a reality ceased to be. The perpetrators representing it did not cease to be till June of this year. But there are no longer underworlds. There are no longer demons. There are no longer massive imposter gods that pretend to be good when they're not. And all of this has been removed. That means we can feel at home, at peace, in the cosmos, because it's been so purified. It is a reflection of the purity of our own being, which in and of itself is a reflection of Mother. Anyone playing the role of illusion no longer has to play it. She remade every being that has earned the right to live at this time into her perfection. So we've had a rebirth. There's no reason why we cannot feel at home. So that sort of deals with the peaceness, you know, the at-homeness, the desire to be at ease. Is there anything there that you think is not clear to the folks? Otherwise...
Let's go to the second part of it, and I'll read this next paragraph, and we'll see what you think then.
Okay.
These rings build on each other. For example, one cannot feel peace when trust is not there. One cannot feel that life is safe. Now, in that one sentence, that feeling that fear. Sometimes I think we didn't even know what it was that we were afraid of. Everything. A death that would one day come into some degree of uncomfortability. Fear of the other shoe falling. You know, fear of what he or she didn't love us anymore. Fear of not having enough money. I mean, I think fear was bundled on me.
Yes.
And how would you tell someone that they don't have to feel that anymore? How can they experience that change?
You know, it's pointless to try and suppress something that has ceased to be real. Because to empower illusion is really not desirable. What you have to do is to put something else in its place. If trust is that which has taken its place, for example, those emotions that we are talking about, that Rain and I are thinking we might want to discuss a lot more of in the future, these emotional pairs replace that which is no longer, for example, the four emotions that are obsolete that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And when people do either self-initiations of the healing modality that Mother has given to the Earth called Belvaspata, and the self-initiations for that are in the book The Ring of Truth, when they do the self-initiations, or whether they're being initiated by a master, for example, you will be a grandmaster because of the levels you will achieve. It can go very rapidly. When you're not in identity consciousness, the waiting period isn't there. When you come home from Ireland, one of the extra gifts the masters of Ireland want to give you is that they will initiate you every day. And then you will have to do the internalizing of these emotions. If you wish to prepare for it ahead of time, my sister, you should contact the masters. You should ask them exactly what you need to be internalizing, because really those internalizings take about a day for each set. An initiation, you know, the initiate level has got a set, which are the ones we're discussing.
Right.
And you know, the level two, then the mastery, then the grand mastery.
Right.
There are four sets to incorporate inside. That
I have all that.
Well, if you can do that ahead of time.
I have been doing it.
That is marvelous.
Yes.
Because then they can just do the initiations. Otherwise, you have to work there every evening into the night. But you will be returning a grand mastery and get your certificate and so on, so that you can, as a grandmaster, you can start initiating people. And, you know, you have a very large tool set of healing sigils that have been given by the mother. So I just wanted to say that the internalizing of these emotions takes the place of the other. Because let's say, for instance, you're afraid you can't pay your bills. What happens is that you put the trust in. You know, you put the trust that you have already internalized, which then, see, the internalization of such an emotion, it makes it a trusted friend. You know its frequency, and you can pull it up at will as you work on patients with the healing modality. You can also pull it up at will when the old illusion threatens to come back.
Am I correct when I say that moving into that state, and you can physically achieve this when you think about those three states of praise, gratitude, and love. Each one of those, as you think about the word, from that place, you can move into these places that you're talking about. Just, I mean, boy, I tell you, we're people listening out there, we're just beginning to skim the top of the barrel in talking about moving into this state of peace and inspiration. But would you say a good technique to practice that the side effect would be peace and inspiration is when you continually look for what you're grateful for, and when you continually give praise and love,
I think that's profound, Rain. And I haven't connected them for some obscure reason, and I absolutely think that you've hit the nail on the head. That it's like the hub of a wheel, and the hub always comes back to the love, praise, and gratitude. And I somehow, in putting these vast structure together, because these rings of emotion, which are like consecutive circles, what they also are is they are, of course, the structure, the gridwork of the cosmos. And there are four interlocking vast wheels. each with these vast bands of compassion. And this is what they are. But the hub has to be love, praise, and gratitude. I think you're absolutely accurate. I can't believe I overlooked that.
Well, and the next thing that, well, you didn't, because you wrote this. You knew this. I'm just reminding you of what you knew that you reminded me of.
You know, I write with that thought, and all my books are written with longhand. And
yeah.
I learn so much when I'm writing, because it's mostly stuff I didn't know. But the other downside of it is that I don't know what I wrote.
Well, and the next piece of that for me is in the next sentence. Now, even the word striving, when I think about the energy that is behind that, the striving that was part of progression, being linear, and I can see that in my mind, in the previous cycle, left us an unprecedented gift that makes, oh, this is huge, striving unnecessary. Everything is available right now in terms of awareness. And from that, see, you said it. All we have to do is open the door each moment in love, praise, and gratitude. I don't care what we're going through in any moment. And it makes such perfect sense to me to see how that striving, I can watch that fracture like a broken glass all around the word striving and watch that fall away, because when we live from that place of love, loving everything, just loving it, loving the broken glass with the wine spilled, being grateful to be able to see that beautiful Cabernet color, and loving the fact that, okay, I get to clean up a space and make ready, make known the unknown in a new space. It will be the known.
I think that's very, very beautiful, because what you're saying is if you have the love, praise, and gratitude, it sets the sail. And from that point on, no matter what you encounter, it pushes you forward rather than back. It's the glasses through which you look at life and truly see it. You see the vignettes. You see the little the Rembrandt still life in the wine glass.
And there's just nothing more I can say about this. Almeen, we have done an hour and a half of what I see to be absolutely shattering, earth-rocking stuff. It is.
And you know, Rain, I will just say this much. Today, Mother, again, in the cosmos, made a change so vast, I mean, it's beyond what we can say in even a half an hour, but a change so vast in the way that information flows, that exponential growth to help all life flourish, if anyone, anywhere grows, even a bit, it is exponentially and immediately broadcast to the heart of every being. And she placed, I believe it was 7 spirals of light. I have the mathematical formulas here that she gave me to write down. 7 spirals of light in the bloodstreams of all beings to carry the information back and forth between the heart and the pineal and the heart again for interpretation and expression. But it means everyone's growth is our growth immediately. It is so magnificent.
As I read further into this, and this is something that I want to end this evening and leave people with. Almeen writes, now that the same energies attract each other, we will be attracting others that live the same high standards of impeccability. We will finally not only feel at home within ourselves, but also with others. We must now allow those with opposite energies to depart with grace. For now, in keeping with the new laws of the cosmos, it is inevitable. It is also inevitable that others with like energies must also gravitate toward us. That's like getting a drink of water, because so often, so many of us have said, why am I drawing? I'm doing everything right. I don't steal. I'm not mean to people. I don't do bad things in general. Why am I drawing people into my life that just don't vibe with me? And they bring some sort of mishap with them, you know? Some sort of chaos is created. We're not going to have to do that anymore.
No, we're not.
Boy, that's something to be left with. The thought that is finished. I love this. I love you. You are my sister. You are my mentor, my teacher. And I am eternally grateful to you and for this time that I can join with you and be some small part of giving to those that are listening. And I would like to join with you, my sister, and affirm and intend that as we grow and as we continue to do this radio, that our frequency becomes stronger and wider and deeper, and that more and more are gathered and hear these words that you offer. I join with you now in that.
Thank you so much, my sister. And I wanted to just close also and ask you, as a gift from me, I could not do this in the case of the Irish workshop because it wasn't mine to give. They organize it as a non-profit, but separately. But I wanted to offer for you. I have a most beautiful week of workshop coming up in December with those who know in their heart that they need to be here in my home. And it's the last for the year. And I wanted to offer you that one free of charge.
Oh.
And perhaps I could not give the Irish one free of charge. I could just help as best as I could. But this one I can.
Oh, my God.
So I wanted to give you that one free of charge, my sister. And perhaps you can give my brother Paul a call and ask if you can stay in his spare bedroom, and that might make it possible for you to come.
Wow. I thank you so very much. And you have given me. You have gifted me with this in all directions of time and space. And you gifted me with the transportation and a place to stay. And you've also gifted me with the absolute secure knowingness that paying for the class will come so easily and has come so easily. And I am eternally grateful. Thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome, my darling, and thank you again for this opportunity.
And let's just, one more time, it's www.spiritualjourneys.com. I highly encourage all of you listening, go to the website, order every single book that my sister Almeen has written. I will tell you that you will never be disappointed that you have done this. You also will be grateful. And I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us this evening. And we are coming back next Sunday, and Almeen and I will be doing a lot of future radio, and we'll be announcing when the new shows are going to be starting. So don't miss any Ascension Road Radio, and there is a new show name coming up. We'll tell you what that is. And my sister, good evening, and I will be talking with you and seeing you very soon.
Until soon then, Rain.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Many blessings to all of you. Good evening.